I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, excuse me. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's only 21 verses, and actually I'll read the first verse of chapter 4. It kind of fits with this section. Before we read together, let's ask the Lord to open our hearts and our minds to His Word tonight. Lord God, we depend on You, we depend on Your Spirit to give light to our eyes, to give knowledge to our minds, to touch our hearts, and to change us from the inside out. We depend on Your Word. We live and move and are sustained by it. So we pray that You would speak through these words, and we would hear Your call and Your voice through them. We pray this, pray that You would guide us in the ways You would have us go. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, this is the story of Samuel's, the Lord calling to Samuel, a well-known story that we grew up with. This is one that makes its way through the pretty significant editing process as they go into children's Bibles. Hear God's word from His word tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said this, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. In this big picture of the story of 1 Samuel, of course, we have a transition being made from old to new, from the current leadership of God's people to a new time of leadership, a new age of leaders. And in this transition, we have the most unlikely person beginning the whole transition. It's this little boy named Samuel. Samuel is the new that is breaking into the old. It is God coming to a child and using him to usher in a new moment of his kingdom. Back in the book of Judges, as we studied that last year, God over and over takes weakness, he takes limitedness, he takes something small and uses it to do big and great things to show that it's not human effort that accomplishes God's will, it's God working through what the world sees as weak. That's how God accomplishes his purpose. Christ took children on his knee and said, "The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It was a child that Jesus pointed to for an example of complete trust and faith. And this is what we all need a little bit to be a little bit more like. We need to be like Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where the word of the Lord comes and makes a child a prophet. The young Samuel receives this revelation from God to give to the aged Eli. And this demonstrates a line from what Hannah sung from her song earlier in 1 Samuel. It is not by strength, that is, it's not by human strength that one prevails. It is the Lord Almighty who empowers whom he will. He exalts the humble and he shows that it is primarily his work, not human efforts and achievements behind the stories of history that shape God's people. So Samuel is characterized here by his willingness to serve. Here I am. I am available. Here I am ready and willing to do whatever is my master's bidding. Here I am is the phrase that you hear repeated throughout, over and over and over in this chapter. Did you notice that? The answer, Samuel answers Eli, "Here I am. I'm available to learn from you and to serve in God's house." Samuel's been listening and obeying his whole life, and "Here I am" has been his disposition. This is what he's been disciplined. This is what his habits are now. He's grown up with a mindset of service, and this is who he is. He is available. Here I am. Samuel is this way to Eli, and that teaches Samuel how to be this way to God. It's the same answer that Abraham gave to God during his test when he was about to sacrifice Isaac. The word of the Lord came and said, "Stop," and Abraham said, "Here I am, God," after he passed the test. It's the same answer that Moses gave to the burning bush when God spoke to him, "Moses, Moses." Moses says, "Here I am." When the prophet Isaiah was given a grand vision of God seated on the throne in heaven itself, he heard the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah's reply was this, "Here I am, send me." When God calls, our answer should be, "Here I am." It was either late at night or early in the morning. Eli and Samuel are in the temple quarters near each other, as the story goes. And Eli's eyes were getting weak, so Samuel was always at his beck and call. His mentor was going blind. When Samuel heard Eli call for him, He got up and he ran over there. "Here I am, you called me." And we know the story. "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." So he goes back to bed. It happens again. Of course, he runs to Eli again. Eli tells him he never called for him. Samuel sent back to bed again, like a little child that keeps getting up, you know. I want a drink of water. I need this. I heard you say something to me, and no, I didn't. Go back to bed. It was after the third time that Eli's physically weak eyes still have this much spiritual insight. If you're hearing someone call to you and it's not me, it might be God. So Eli mentors Samuel to respond. Here's the words you should say to God. Again, he's shaping him. He's teaching him how to serve the Lord. Samuel's called by the Lord. He couldn't tell the difference between Eli's voice and God's voice. Isn't that interesting? I always figured that you'd be able to tell, that it'd be obvious. My father tells me the story about listening to his grandpa Invelt read scripture with his thick Dutch accent and his really deep voice. I had a grandfather Invelt who knew seven languages. He's the one that immigrated from the Netherlands. Yes, I'm like fourth, fifth generation here. But my father told me this. He said, whenever Grandpa Invelt read the Bible, he thought that's what God's voice must sound like. Just this deep and accented. And he just loved hearing Grandpa read scripture. God's voice must sound like that. God's voice must sound deep and distinct. It must shake things up. It must obviously pierce through things. God's voice must boom and thunder. But in this moment, it sounded just like Eli's. Some of us who are young children, when God is revealing something to him, he's going to sound a lot like mom and dad if they fear the Lord. God's voice is going to sound a lot like your spiritual mentor's voice, who's in tune with God's will. God's voice is going to sound very human. It's going to echo through the human voices that God has used to shape and nurture us. So Samuel's called by God. He mistakes it for Eli's voice, but Eli has a spiritual sensitivity to say, here's what you're going to say. You're going to say this: speak, the Lord, for your servant is listening. There's a couple movements of this "here I am." Samuel had grown up serving others. Here I am for others. Priests served God on behalf of the people. And so Samuel is learning how to be a priest through his mentor Eli. So if you're a priest, you are taking the people and bringing the people's needs before the Lord. Here I am. Here I am to listen and to do what you tell me to do. In fact, a priest took the needs of the people to bring before the Lord, while a prophet takes the word of God and brings it to the people. Now here is Samuel transitioning from one to another. He encounters God, and it doesn't lessen his service to Eli, even after God told him about Eli. In fact, becoming a prophet of God changed his service to others, increased its scope. So in verse 20, we read that all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, that is from the farthest north to the farthest south, all Israel recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. So it was through Samuel that God's word came to all the people. So Samuel is there for others. Of course, he is also, here I am for the Lord. The call of Samuel itself, we see Samuel answering to God in the words that Eli gave him. And this posture of listening in order to obey is so critical for Christian living And I believe much of it has been lost in our day. When God speaks to us through his word, when you open your Bible and you read about, when you read the Bible around the supper table, when your teacher says, now open your Bibles to such and such passage, how many of us say in our heart, oh Lord, speak to me because I'm listening and I'm ready to obey you? Is that our disposition? What is drastically wrong with the common approach is that it puts us in charge. We tell God that we'll only listen to what we want to listen to from him. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then he got a message that he really didn't want to share with his mentor. But this posture of here I am, God, needs to be recovered in our community. It's the posture of a servant heart, but it's a posture that's not afraid to speak God's truth into each other's lives. So we don't open his holy word to advance our own agendas or fulfill our immediate needs. We listen to God, speak through his word, first of all, because of the pure privilege and joy and honor and delight that we have to hear from God himself. When God calls, we answer, here I am. And when God speaks, we said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Is this our posture towards God's revelation? I want to finish by talking about three movements that happen when God calls. When God calls, there are three directions that happen in this passage. The narrator of this chapter of the Bible works images of darkness and light. When God calls, he calls us from darkness to light. Something happens, a direction is set, and everything moves in this direction. When the word of the Lord came to Samuel, there was a movement from darkness to light. There's subtleties of the dark condition that everything is in at the beginning of this passage. In verse 1, we come to discover that the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. Not many people are seeing revelation from God. Then we have the growing blindness of the priest Eli. There's darkness in his eyes. He could barely see. And then we read that in verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, but it was about to. So it's getting darker. Everything is getting darker. There's lack of God's revealing light shining in the nation of Israel, portrayed right in this scene. And now after the third time Samuel hears who he believes to be Eli calling him, Eli discerns that God must be the one calling him. And the fourth time, we read this in verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times. When Samuel was spoken to by God this fourth time, this time Samuel is ready to listen to God, and this time he saw the Lord. There's a vision. And after the night was through, Samuel opened the doors to the temple with a new morning, as if to say, there is a new light that has come again. It's a new day. When God calls, light is shed upon dark places. Things we never saw before become visible. It's like the difference between riding your bicycle on a bike trail in the middle of the night and the middle of the day. I used to do that with my young friends, of course. We'd go camping and we'd do this crazy, foolish, childish thing of riding our bikes through pitch black night. It was goofing off. We laugh, we heard each other crash into each other. You know, we couldn't see each other. We're riding our bicycles and it's so pitch dark. You can kind of see a glimpse of the road here and there when that street light would shine. But all in all, we really didn't know where we were going. We could feel that it was really smooth when we were on the path and it started getting rough. We know we were getting off the path and we'd get back on there. And I think that's how many of us live life without the illuminating revelation of God. We just kind of gauge, is life kind of going smoothly right now? Okay, I must be all right. Oh, it's getting rough now. I better kind of get back on the right path, but I'm not sure where it is. I'll feel it out. But when the sun comes out, it's the middle of the day, you can ride your bike as fast as you can because you see ahead of you and around you, and the light illuminates everything that you are blind to in the darkness. When God calls, there is a movement from darkness to light. When God calls, there is a movement from priest to prophet. Of course, Samuel, we just talked about this briefly, but Samuel is serving and learning and training how to be a priest, taking the people's needs before the Lord, and now he's transitioning. When God calls you, when you hear God's voice, when he speaks to you through his word, when you know him and understand his revelation, you can then share God with others. You don't simply take needs before God. We did that in our intercessory prayer earlier. That was like being a priest. Now we're seeking to be prophets, hearing God's will for us so we can live it and share it. The priests, of course, would follow their order of worship to the T. They were the ones that God had said, here's how you serve me in the temple, here's how you perform these rituals and sacrifices. And they followed everything exactly as needed. Priests followed a very ordered regimen. They didn't depend on hearing new and fresh insights from God. They depended on carrying out what he had told them and instructed them at the very beginning. But prophets respond to different situations with different words. The prophet works in the other direction, of course. The prophet speaks to the people based on what's going on. The circumstances change God's message. If the prophet didn't receive revelation from God, he would have nothing to say. The test of the prophet was not if he belonged to the right tribe or followed all the rules to the T of the sacrificial practices. The only test of the prophet was whether or not what he said came true, and if what he said resonated with God's word. So what he said ended up being not from God. He was declared a false prophet, and depending on the severity of his sins, he would be stoned, capital punishment. When God revealed himself, Samuel went from being a priest to being a prophet. We need prophetic Christians in our own day. We have many people playing the right role of priests, pointing out the problems of the world with no authoritative answer to them. Many people fall back on specific orders and structures in the church to get around having to hear God speak through his word. Maybe we can manage God and what he has done among us if we can just confine him to this or that structure or limit. Too many of us operate in such a way that if the Bible no longer would have authority, nothing would need to change because it isn't being treated that way anyway. Too many are lamenting the condition of our culture without calling people to repent and pointing out the way to salvation. When the Word of God calls us, there is movement from priestly work to also prophetic work among God's people. The third movement in this text, when we read God's calling to Samuel, is a movement from study to encounter. I wrestled with this vocabulary when I very first put this together years ago, and I chose to continue with the same words, a movement from study to encounter. Samuel was a student. He was studying. He was learning. He was learning about the Lord and his work, and he read his textbooks. He learned the doctrines. But there's a peculiar verse in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He's been studying, he's had a mentor, Eli, and And Scripture here is reminding us that there is a distinction between knowing about someone and knowing someone. Now, you can't know someone without knowing something about them, but it's not the same thing, and I think we all know that. The word of the Lord had not been yet been revealed to him, and that's why he didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord's own voice. He didn't know the Lord's own presence. He knew the sacrifices. He knew the practices. He knew the liturgies. He knew how to lead the church service, but he hadn't heard from God himself. See, to know in our world today generally means that we have absorbed some data about something. Knowledge is depersonalized in our world today. In fact, most people believe that if you're personally involved in something, that actually hinders your ability to have objective knowledge, right? Because you have a bias. And the modern idea is that we don't want to have any biases. And if we don't have any biases, then we have true knowledge. But of course, that's just not true. It never happens that way. People who know certain things and are against Christianity have a bias, and others, of course, we will have a bias when we know the Lord and experience His love and His grace. It's detrimental to the church to have a worldly view of knowledge, to think that if we would really know God, we'd have to distance ourselves from Him and scientifically analyze Him and try to see our commitments objectively. If that's a theory of knowledge and what it means to know, then no wonder we find people who go by the title of theologian who don't know God. To know God means to have an interactive, personal relationship with Him. To know your spouse is to have a relationship with your husband or your wife, to speak and listen. You see, Samuel knew about God, but he hadn't truly known God yet because he didn't have that communication and that connection. The word of the Lord had not yet come to him. And so when God called him, thus began a time of his life when he didn't just know about God and didn't have a lot of lists and duties. He experienced God's presence. He was given a message. He was given a calling. And he was living it out. People might know some tidbits about their favorite sports hero or Hollywood stars, but they're deceived into thinking they really know that person. Knowledge isn't just about data and facts and events. It's not less than that, but it's more than that. Knowledge, according to Scripture, is the fact set within a personal, interactive relationship. We might know a lot about God. We fill our heads with a lot of information. But tonight, Scripture is asking us, if we have heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest," have we listened to God speak through His Word to hear His voice speak to us, to call us to be Christians, to call us to follow Christ, to obey Him? Are we disciples that in the midst of just our everyday life, Jesus has said, "Follow me"? And there are things we did have to drop in order to do that. There are things that we had to not do that the world would lead us to do, because following Christ means our whole heart and our whole lives must be committed to Him. You can't follow just a concept, just an idea. We're called to follow a person. A person that didn't just remain a vision, but in Christ, God Himself has stood among us, verse 10. Like Samuel, He was there and He called. He has called your name and He has called my name. Have we said, "Speak, your servant is listening"? And have we heard Him speak to us and call us and guide us? Do we have a relationship where we pray and we turn in Scripture and hear for what how He would be answering us? When God calls, we answer, "Here I am." We're there and available for others. We're there and available for the Lord. And when God calls, things change. Light shines in the darkness. We go from not merely a priestly bringing people's needs before God, but also bringing God's word before others. And our study grows to become more than a study, but an encounter with the living God.